Welcome to Nerds Before Birds. Each week on the show, we take a look at a film and attempt to answer the question, does it soar like an eagle or simply flip the bird?
Welcome back!
It's almost on par with the actual Rotten Tomatoes Metacritic score.
Never seen a sonogram roll its eyes before, but it did.
I'll do my best to tell these two losers what happened.
Well, if you're still here, we do know things, don't worry.
If any movie is below 6 on IMDb, then it's probably not worth watching.
I always have what I want to say in my head. It's like, oh yeah, that's the perfect way to word it. It's not.
Howdy folks, I'm Paul.
I'm Fiona.
Safe. I'm Dean.
And I'm Jason. Welcome to Nerds Before Zamunda. Is it Zamunda? Zamunda? I don't know.
What? Yeah, Zamunda.
Zamunda. Zamunda.
Did you watch the movie?
I did watch
When Nerds Before a Country?
Well, that's just
it's trying. It's trying too hard. That's what it is.
That's what it is. Okay. Continue on.
sure, if you want. You can start again if you like, if you're not confident with that intro.
No, I'm fine. Wow. I don't need to do the intro again. I don't need to do three
Jason takes. Doesn't need to be confident. He can just go with whatever.
Yeah, I don't care.
It's fine.
So, welcome to the podcast where you find reviews, rankings, general discussion on all things film and pop culture. This week on the show, we're talking all about Coming to America, the sequel to Coming to America, which is a weird sentence when you don't have it written down. Like, I now realize that, but yeah, it's coming numeral to
It's America. All about emphasis.
It's the emphasis.
It's coming to America as opposed to coming to America.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, like it's you got to modulate a little bit. You got to play to the people's ears. Okay.
Coming to America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're coming straight off the back of Dolomite Is My Name, which, with Eddie Murphy,
that was his last
big movie.
It's kind of his comeback movie, right?
Like, I thought that's what we did last week. I'm like, we didn't do that.
No,
last
we didn't. No, Eddie Murphy did it last week. that also starred Wesley Snipes as well, and and it was also directed by Craig Brewster, who directed this as well. So.
And I read an interview. I watched an interview with Eddie Murphy this week, saying that apparently Wesley Snipes wasn't originally going to be in this movie until they did Dolomite together.
Yeah, exactly.
Because originally Eddie Murphy was going to play that character as well, and then he's like, "No, Wesley Snipes, awesome.
Yeah, right.
Get him in.
Yeah, okay." Yeah. Because what is the name of the country? It's like Nextoria or something like that. It's like something
Nextoria,
on the nose. It feels like titanium, like from Avatar,
thing. Is that actually what it is?
Yeah, that's actually what it's called.
Exactly what it is. Yeah. Like the
son of a bitch. It is. Yeah. Wow.
but I suppose it works in this because it's very tongue in cheek as opposed to Avatar, where it's like. Not meant to be funny, but it is funny.
Yeah.
Unobtainium.
Was that unobtainium?
Yeah.
Unobtainium.
Yeah.
Avatar?
It's the dumbest thing. So.
Yeah.
It is the dumbest
thing. Unobtainium. More like dumb obtainium. Oh my gosh. I'm on fire. Yeah. I'm on fire.
Like unobtainy dumb.
You're going to finish early tonight. you've peaked.
I've peaked.
He does every night.
This is funny.
So.
I've never before wanted a joke cut so much.
So I think Dolomite is a better film. Have you guys seen Dolomite?
Absolutely.
No, we only watch good films.
I think it's better than this. And it definitely gives Eddie Murphy more to do than what this does because he sort of takes a bit of a backseat. But
he plays more roles in Dolomite, does he?
No, he just has more screen time overall.
Got it. Yeah, sorry. Okay. That makes sense. That makes more sense.
Well, actually, he kind of does play more roles because he's like a aspiring like blaxploitation sort of actor kind of thing, and that's kind of what he's doing. So he's like playing different versions of himself, sort of thing. But getting back to this movie, what did you guys think of it, Dean? What did you think of this movie? Did you like it?
Coming to America, more like dumbing to America.
Yeah,
am I right?
You already used that one.
I'm trying. I peaked. I'm just trying to recycle old material.
I could turn. You can turn the crickets up on that one, Jason. This is for post edit, Jason. Turn the crickets up on my edit track.
I'm now officially at the end of my notes for tonight.
Right.
That's it. That's all I had written down.
So soaring or flipping?
I was pleasantly
the same joke twice.
That's his notes.
He wrote "Dumbing to America" and then below that he goes. Dumbing to America. With gusto.
Yes. It's just one of those, like, if no one laughs the first time, it's because they didn't hear it. Yeah. So you definitely have to repeat
that's
the joke.
That's absolutely why.
That's it. That's it. I was pleasantly surprised by this movie. Yeah, I thought it would suck. I thought it would go the Zoolander 2, Dumb and Dumber 2, kind of like Anchorman 2, like just very bad, like, or just very disappointing sequel would never be anywhere near as good as what the original was.
Yeah, that's fair.
And sometimes make the original worse, like Zoolander 2.
Hmm.
It's definitely not better than the first one, but I was very surprised at how close it got to recapturing the...
of the first one.
The essence, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a lot closer and a lot funnier than I expected.
How long's it been since you watched the original?
It has been quite a few years.
Yeah.
Probably at least 5 years since it was last on TV and I was watching it.
Yeah.
Fair
enough.
Probably, yeah. Since before Netflix was a thing in Australia, definitely.
Okay.
But
you'd say it soars?
Are you going to say, like... I think I would say it pleasantly soars. It's not like an eagle, but it's definitely up there.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Fee, you watched it more recently, the original, right?
Yeah.
What did you think of this? Also, like, in comparison to the original?
I think it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of a follow-up. Like, and I think it... They were both films are indicative of the time that they were. Yeah,
yes, yes.
Fee's so about to drop that she didn't like either of them. That's,
what?
You're going to drop that you didn't like either of them. That's where this is going. I can tell. Is that what it is?
I mean, I don't need to watch either of them ever again in my life, but I didn't hate them. This definitely wasn't a complete waste of time. I did really enjoy the opening sequences of both movies because I watched them pretty much back to back. And I laughed out loud in the opening sequence of the first one. And then the throwback in the second one was just, it was quite funny. And it was cool to see the kind of like the upgrade in technology.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Of the animations and stuff. So that was cool.
Definitely.
And but I do think that the story was, I'm glad that there was a bit more to the story because the first one was so simple. It was very like bare bones kind of plot wise.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that they added a few more characters.
Kind of joke.
But that's kind of what this is. It's a fish out of water thing because it's
to a degree.
But I think you're right.
What
it's
do you
the
mean?
Same movie
because as like, in it's the
know,
sun.
It's Eddie Murphy's taken out of his natural landscape and put somewhere new, and that's
like
kind of where
the first Thor movie, that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
where it's just like
And now in this one, it's his son.
Well, Wonder Woman
is out of Queens, coming to Zamunda. I keep
Zamunda.
Because would you say the first one was essentially
Wakanda forever?
Would you say the first one was very much like Eddie Murphy in his prime, and it was like simple story? And essentially, it was just like a space for Eddie Murphy to go in and do the Eddie Murphy thing. And that's what kind of like, just like that, that's what carries the whole movie. This one, it is more like there's a bit more complex story going on, which is good because it then kind of distracts from the fact that Eddie Murphy's not at his prime anymore.
No.
But there's definitely still room for Eddie to do Eddie things. But
he's not as front and center as he was in the original kind of thing.
More world building than I expected.
Yeah.
A lot more world building.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Definitely.
So you think it soars, Fee, like overall? Like
I don't know if I'd say that. So,
there it is.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah. So maybe like a meh, like kind of like in the middle.
Yeah. Like if you never see this movie, you're probably doing better things with your life.
Yeah, fair enough.
But if you do see this movie, it's not the worst thing you could have been doing.
Right.
So it's like if you never see this movie, you will survive.
Yeah.
But if you do see this movie, you will also survive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's good.
There you go.
That's good. I hope that most movies you survive through anyways. But okay.
You would expect that. Most. Like
so there is one or two out there that Jason is hoping for death.
I'm bare bones, sure
like minimum expectation for a movie should be that you will survive it.
Yes.
And then
I feel like Jupiter Ascending should be one of those movies that you're like, nah, I'm not gonna survive the
Am I gonna get out of this? I don't think I'm gonna get out of this.
Yes. This should be an option.
Like if a situation arose, I'd be okay with this.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, Paul, what did you think of it? Did you like it? Does it soar, flip?
I thought it was all right. I think I'm kind of in the similar boat to everyone else. Like, I didn't mind the original. I thought it was funny. There's moments where I laughed in this one. And, like, you know, it ends nice. It's got a nice little ending. Yeah. But I don't think I'd watch it again. And there wasn't really that much memorable about it. Like,
yeah,
there's moments that are funny, but there's nothing like how funny is that one bit where,
but yeah.
You know, it's okay. It's a good. What do we call a 2.5? What do we call a middle of the road?
2.5 balls.
It's an Amy.
Sweet.
It's like it's a meh. It's all right. It's you know if you got the time to watch it, go for it. If you don't, don't worry about it.
Yeah, fair enough. That's fair.
Yeah, don't reschedule just to watch this movie.
Yeah.
Don't change your day. Definitely don't, like, come home from an important party to talk about it kind of deal.
everyone at home's like, what is he talking about?
Everyone can definitely see that finger.
It's just an off-the-top sure. of my head example that you just plucked from the ether. No idea why. Yeah.
Why would
it's
you say
It's called improv.
That? No. Never.
I'm so glad you appreciate it, Paul.
How are you feeling, Fee? With decision-wise, how you feel you're going?
About being on the podcast.
Super massive regret. Like,
that's your answer every week.
What do you want me to say?
Yeah, you're like refer to last that. Week's episode.
On the scale of between 1 and super massive regret. Where are you on the regret? Man, I'm up there with that sentence. I really regret
on
that.
The scale of 1 to Gerard Butler.
What did you
Butler.
Think, Jason?
Oh yeah, Jason, what did you think?
Yeah, I'm kind of like in the middle as well. I thought there was a few moments where I found it kind of funny. And I laughed. But you're right, Paul. Like, it's very not memorable. Like, it's not a memorable movie. I watched it, I think it was like 2 days ago. And I was like, what do I remember from this movie? And there's not much that was like that really stuck with me. Like, there's a few things when we get into the plot that I'll be like, oh, yeah, that was really dumb. And that's the only thing that really stuck out to me about it. But but other than that, I was like, oh, yeah, it's okay. But yeah.
I'm curious to know where people's expectations were going into this movie. Like, were we expecting anything great and awesome? Or were we all pretty actually like, you know, had low expectations and pleasantly surprised by the end of it?
I don't think
expectations met.
Yeah, I think my expectations were kind of met. Like, I didn't expect much from this movie, and it kind of it went about the same. It
gave you that,
right?
Yeah,
I think I think I probably enjoyed it more simply just because I have been, well, like, you know, not just me, everyone else, like, just been massively disappointed with sequels like this in the past.
Yeah, right.
Like Zoolander and like Dumb and Dumber. And then you're like, oh, it's going to be so good. They're going to come back. It's going to have, you know, all the, you know, it's going to be so reminiscent of the thing they did 20 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And it sucks. And it's terrible.
Yeah.
This is also an old, like a even longer gap between.
Yeah, it's been.
It's like 30.
30 years or 29?
33 years.
33 years. Between, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
1988. and now.
In an interview that I was watching with Eddie Murphy, he was talking about, like, they asked him if he was going to do a third one, and he's like, oh, maybe I'll wait another 16 years because I need to be 76 or something. He's like, he's turning 60 soon or something like that.
What's the third one called?
Coming 3 America, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Coming to Amethrica.
This should have been Coming to Zamunda. I can't say that name.
Coming to
Zamunda.
Zumba. Jason, think of Zumba.
Coming to Zumba.
Coming to Zumunda.
Zumba.
Zumba.
Wow.
Is that the guys who sung I Get Knocked Down?
Is it?
There is
Chumbawamba. It's a joke. Don't worry.
Okay.
I was like, it's something along those lines. But it should have been Coming to Zamunda. Like, it should have been that.
Yeah.
Because that makes more sense.
That's true.
But for people that, like, are more familiar, I suppose, with Coming to America, then they'd be like, oh, is this a sequel?
They wouldn't get that it's a sequel.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like they could have gotten away with it because, like, you've got the whole Creed series.
Yes.
And, like, you know, that's named after something in Rocky, and it's kind of Rocky related, but it's not, it's Rocky adjacent.
Oh, is that a Rocky sequel?
Did you not?
Oh, geez.
Are you seriously? Are you just?
Oh,
wow.
No, I'm joking.
So, Ryan Coogler.
Dan is playing the role of America.
Ryan Coogler,
Incoming
who
to America.
Directed Black Panther and Creed, he actually originally pitched an idea for this film to Eddie Murphy. And Eddie Murphy's like, I didn't like the pitch, but it made him think that it might be a good idea to do a sequel. And then he went on like, they developed this kind of thing. But
do we have any notes on what that pitch was?
I don't know. Like, but I reckon he would have done a very good job because Creed.
Yeah,
Creed was
like,
good.
Yeah, have you seen
Black
Creed 2?
Black Panther's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen that yet.
It was,
and they're going to make a third one now,
too. It was
good.
He didn't, Ryan Coogler didn't direct the second
flipping
one.
Michael B. Jordan's directing the third one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he's making his directorial debut with it.
Yeah, I saw that on Screen Rant.
Yeah.
So he's really...
Oh, you know what else I saw on Screen Rant? Sorry, I'm going to sidetrack. It's super hard.
Fine, go for it.
Set photo, from Thor, Love and Thunder.
Yeah.
Natalie Portman. She has bulked up.
Really?
Yeah. Well, she was saying that,
absolute cannon
when the announcement came out that she was... That was, 2 years ago, she was saying that she was going to go and spend the whole year training to get in shape.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
That's cool.
It's rad. It's going to be a good movie.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Sorry.
It's going to be sick.
That's cool.
I thought it was cool news. Carry on. Because, it's all things film and pop culture.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing it all at the wall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
some of us have 18th birthdays to get back to, though. So, just let's keep it on track.
So, we all don't really recommend watching this movie. It's watch it or don't watch it either way.
I think if you've seen the first one, watch it.
Yeah.
Because, it's nice to kind of... You don't need to end it, but it does kind of give a nice little wrap up to the cinematic universe of Coming to America.
Yeah, until they make the third one in 16 years, maybe. I don't think I think it was more of a joke.
No,
I don't think he'll actually do
it. Don't do a sequel for another 33 years, and then come back
when he's 93.
And then it'll be,
although
he's and he could be the James Earl Jones.
Yeah, because James Earl Jones is he's up there, right? He's in his 90s, isn't he?
A funny scene.
Oh, his funeral? When he's like,
yes.
Yeah.
Peaky.
Morgan Freeman.
Coming out of nowhere.
I'm going to die now.
I was just like,
okay.
How does he keep standing
up? As soon as he died, everyone stopped having sex.
Yes.
And everyone stopped.
Such a random thing. It is pretty funny just the way that he does say that, though.
People didn't even have sex anymore.
I'm going to die now. And that's it. And he's done. It is pretty awesome. I'll watch it. Don't watch it. I don't know. We'll go through the plot either way.
I say watch it.
Okay, you say watch it.
Yeah, we're not your boss. Yeah. Just do what you want.
We don't control. You do whatever you want to do. You do you.
Do whatever you want. We're only controlling when it comes to the Patreon.
Yeah.
And then subscribe. You have to support us. And then
yes.
So
we tell you what to do.
It's on the 30th anniversary of Prince Akeem and Lisa McDowell's wedding, and they're basically brought to King Jaffa. Is that how you say his name? Jaffa.
Jaffa.
And That is James Earl Jones, and he is telling him that basically he's going to die soon, and that they need to work out what's going to happen because the ruler of Nextdoria. Such a stupid.
Highlight of this movie.
He is actually the highlight. So
he is so good in this.
Which is Wesley Snipes, like the dictator of Nextdoria. He is gonna basically wage war as soon as James Earl Jones's character dies, kind of thing. And leaves what they perceive is the weaker heir to the throne. Kind of thing, sitting on the throne. So they're like, okay.
Without an heir as well.
Yeah, without an heir or of his own kind of thing, because he only has three daughters, and because nothing's changed
to the tall man
in this country at all, that they apparently can not allow women to rule or whatever, like they're completely backwards.
Fun fact. Business.
Fun fact?
Fun fact, one of the daughters... one of the daughters in this is actually Eddie Murphy's real daughter.
Which one?
I think it's the youngest one. The youngest one, I think. But I could be very wrong. But yes. I know.
What are you wrong about? Are you wrong that it's actually his daughter, or are you wrong?
No,
about
I could be wrong that it's the youngest one. Okay, I could be wrong that this is fun.
Yeah.
I could be wrong that this is a fun fact. I'm not sure. I think it is. Let's move on.
I have a fun fact.
Yeah.
Wesley Snipes is on Clubhouse. I listened to a chat with him. It's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
I have another fun fact.
Oh, is that the fact?
Yeah.
That's the fact.
I had a fun fact.
You can find him on Clubhouse.
Fun fact, your mic cut out there, and I thought you said Leslie Snipes. It's like, who's Leslie Snipes? Who's she in?
That's his...
That's his
twin.
Daughter. The twin. That's in this movie.
It's a Jack and Jill.
Imagine if you had a daughter named Leslie.
Leslie. My name's Wesley. This is my daughter, Leslie.
How much of a narcissist do you have to be to call your first child Leslie Snipes?
Like, it's funny because Mika, which is the daughter of Prince Akeem in this, Mika is actually like Akeem in reverse.
Kind of thing,
so
it's
actually the same name.
Oh my god! Yeah. I didn't even know.
So there you go.
So
Eddie Murphy's daughter Nettie Murphy is Nettie in this.
Just a slight difference.
Betty Murphy.
I started watching
Betty Murphy.
So I finally started watching the new Bill and Ted, and both the daughters are called Bill and Ted, kind of thing.
Oh, like, no.
You're joking.
No. It's actually pretty funny. Like it's pretty good so far.
Okay.
But
better sequel than this?
So far, yes.
You reckon?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah,
much better than this.
Keep my expectations low. Keep them low.
Yeah.
Keep
them low. So, basically, he needs to find an heir, or his daughter needs to marry one of the dictator's sons, which she's like, hell no, because he's, like, super weird kind of thing. And then basically there's the revelation by who is that? Like, it's kind of like the
shaman.
The shaman, yeah. He basically realizes that there is an illegitimate
son.
It's
a he?
Is it? Isn't it?
Wait. I totally thought it was a woman whole time.
It's what's his name dressed up? Like,
it's Eddie Murphy.
Oh, it's Eddie Murphy.
No, it's,
who's that?
Wait, Arson, no, it's not.
Arsenio
Hall.
Yeah. Arsenio Hall. Are we talking
Arsenio
about
Hall.
The
Baba?
Yeah, Baba.
Baba.
So, Baba. Because they...
No, hang on. No, Baba was one of the... you know what? I'm confused. Yeah, sure. It's Arsenio Hall.
No, it's Baba. Yeah, you're right. Wait,
Are you saying like... what are we saying?
Nothing. That Jason's absolutely spot on. It is indeed Arsenio Hall. Carry on.
Excellent.
He has a prophecy.
Yeah, he has a prophecy. And he's basically you have an illegitimate son... Which is like a great plot device, like the way that they work it out. Like it just comes out of nowhere kind of thing. He's like, I have had this dream and this is what he looks like. And I've even got like, you know, the royal, I don't know, sketches to put up a description of what exactly he looks like kind of thing. So you can track him down kind of thing.
Absolutely spot on.
Yeah. And so we have like basically a memory that Prince Akeem doesn't remember, like he's completely drunk for the experience, and he apparently had a one-night stand with Leslie Jones's character. And
I was very curious to know how they'd make this happen, because it was like, when you watch the first
when
one,
two people love each other.
Oh, thank you,
other.
Paul. Thank you. No, yeah, I really appreciate
not,
that.
They don't have to love each other in this movie. Case.
Yeah,
I know. So, when two people love drugs very much,
I think
they.
I think the like the de-aging, because the
de-aging was on point.
De-aging was actually good. Pretty good, right?
On this,
like,
yeah,
you can tell. I was definitely very where impressed. They've got like the shots from the original movie and
yeah,
tied
but
them
even
in,
the,
but.
Even the transitions between like the what they've, you know, taken from the first one, the actual footage from the first one.
Yeah.
It feels like it's a seamless, like the continuity between that and the new shots that they've put in, it's seamless.
It's even very like, well done. All the noise and stuff they added to make it look like it's from the '80s.
It took me a while to realize that it was new footage that I was looking at.
Yeah, it's
I'll be honest, until you said it just then, I didn't realize.
Yeah, right.
Like, it never clicked that they de-aged them. I was like,
yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was exactly.
Right now, I've realized, of course, they're pretty cool.
I mean, it does help that Eddie Murphy does look so good for 60. Like,
yeah. He looks great. So does Arsenio Hall. They both look very good for their age.
Completely.
Black don't crack.
sorry.
Just saying.
What did you say?
She said something
you
that she
me.
Can say, but we can't.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Oh. Oh, my God.
So, basically, the dad, he dies, and they have a funeral before he dies because he wants to experience that. And we have a nice cameo from Morgan Freeman. Doing his eulogy and going through that old speech that you're basically...
And also En Vogue and Salt and Pepper.
Oh, yeah, of course. Cool. Yeah, that's right.
Mm.
So there's a whole...
It's getting everyone. Also, Bella Murphy plays the middle daughter, the one with the glasses.
Yes.
Right.
Just, yeah.
I was a bit disappointed that we didn't get a Samuel Jackson cameo in this, because you have him in the original, and I thought, like he's been in Craig... Brewster's one of his movies, or Craig Brewer, I should say, one of his movies before, and I thought maybe he could have like pulled some strings and got him to, like, you know.
You know what could have been interesting? If he was somehow, maybe not as a cameo, but he was like, there was some reference about him in New York, but he was like a major crime boss.
Yeah.
And it's like this weird sub story where he's risen from a robber you know, Fisk level crime boss.
Yeah, I feel like the reformed thing would be better though. Like something completely opposite to what he started out as.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Like in the chapel when they're getting married, he could just be like on the piano or something.
Yeah.
Be like, oh yeah. Freak out when they come in.
Yeah.
That's a really jumping forward.
That's true.
But yes.
So, James L. Jones's character dies, and Eddie Murphy's like, I have a week to basically get my illegitimate son back here for reasons. Basically, like, he doesn't want to get assassinated and appear weak kind of thing. Around about this point, we get a nice little James L. Jones voiceover for the Zamundans, ZNN, which is kind of cool because... James Earl Jones actually voices, he's the voice of CNN in the States.
Oh,
is this is CNN.
This is CNN.
Yeah, he's
voice.
Yeah.
Isn't that
fun?
So, didn't click.
So he's the voice of ZNN in this like fictional world too,
and
which is kind of cool.
This is where we get the Trevor Noah cameo, is it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, well.
Good old Trevor Noah.
What?
Good old. He's the news anchor.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
So,
which makes sense.
They travel over to America, and it's not hard at all for him to track down Leslie Jones. He just finds her like basically straight away. And Leslie Jones,
my African,
Leslie Jones's brother is played by Tracy Morgan. And
I won't do that anymore.
And then we get her son, who's the illegitimate,
the King's bastard son.
Yes. So he's Jermaine Fowler is he plays that character. who's Lavelle Johnson. I think that's the name
Lavelle
of the character.
Lavelle Johnson. Has this guy been in before? Because he looks so familiar.
He does. He does look familiar. I couldn't remember.
BoJack Horseman.
Oh, yes, that's where I know his face from. Yeah, that's of course. Thanks, thanks, Paul. Thanks.
Yes. You're welcome. I live to give.
Oh man. So basically,
oh,
he's
Family
like,
Guy. It was in Family Guy. That's it.
They're like super broke still. Leslie Jones's character is in the same place that he left, like in the same apartment, I believe it is as well, and she's super excited when she finds out that he's actually a prince or he's a king now, and they're like, "Yep, we're coming back to your country and everything like that, and gonna claim my birthright and all this kind of stuff." So they go back and they immediately realize that they're completely out of their depth, kind of thing,
The daughters are pretty peeved that he's back too, because his eldest daughter,
yes,
kind of the whole time she, it feels like she's getting groomed to be,
yeah,
the next ruler. But obviously, there's that little rule where women can't lead a country.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So she sees him as a threat and as like basically an excuse for, you know, the rule to be passed to him, kind of thing.
Yeah,
and
you
think,
can kind of, like,
I think it's just hating for the same
you
reason.
You can see where this movie's going. Like it's so predictable.
Oh yeah,
the way that it's going.
But it was definitely about 15 minutes in where I thought, okay, so we know that they get the illegitimate son back and then she's going to end up being in the ruling seat. She's going to be the real heir.
Yeah. I was thinking that, like, basically because of the way that they made Leslie Jones's character out to be sort of, like, she wasn't completely convinced that he was the father kind of thing. I was kind of like, is there going to be some sort of relationship with the sister that, like, and then they realize they're actually not related kind of thing?
What?
Oh, that's some Brady Bunch stuff. We don't want that here.
Very Brady Bunch.
No, I thought he was going to be, like, non-related and then they would just, like, send him back home.
That was the ending.
Bye.
General Izzy.
It's
Wesley
a wonderful
Snipes.
Film about deportation.
Like Wesley Snipes comes in and is like, I was in America 30 years ago as well. Hang on.
And then,
actually, that would have been very funny. If he walks in and Leslie Jones is like, hang on a second. Like, I know you.
I know you too.
Like, I was thinking like it would sort of head that way, and so somehow like it would be a series of like crazy events, and
because then she's like, then the chick that he's in keen on, the general is his daughter, turns out to be his sister. And then
basically the whole sort of plot develops, and Wesley Snipes sort of offers up his daughter to Lavelle. And it's super weird. Like that whole thing.
It's very weird.
It's so weird, but it's still pretty funny.
Is this how he introduces his daughter to everyone?
Yes.
That's really weird.
I do like how he's like, you know, Lavelle will need some time to think. I mean, unless you like this, Lavelle, he's like, uh-huh. He's like, okay, cool.
Okay.
Yeah. So Lavelle decides that he's going to marry the...
Bopo?
Also, I kind of feel like they very much, like, don't you just love the one scene that they commit to, like, sweeping everything under the rug scene where he comes back and is like, apparently, like, it takes one scene for the wife to get over the fact that he's got an illegitimate son. It's like, okay, yep, it was before we met and... You're on drugs. Cool.
Yeah, yeah. They're like,
we'll move
I must
on
say,
from this.
Super like.
Yeah,
I did like.
Muck
I did
around.
Like the,
yeah.
I like the callback to the chick who was originally going to marry Eddie Murphy. You know, more he's like, you know, hop on one leg and bark like a dog. I did like how they brought her back in very quickly. That was very funny.
Yeah.
I liked that.
So I did enjoy. Cameo. I did appreciate that it was like all the same actors managed to come back to reprise all those roles. Like you had all the same guys playing the barbershop actors, and like you had all the, like you had the priest come back at the end.
Wait, hang on, hold up. And you do know that's Eddie Murphy in.
No, there's like one of them that isn't Eddie Murphy, and what's his name?
Cuba Gooding Jr. wasn't.
No,
back.
No, the
that's
Jewish guy was one of them.
Yeah, Eddie Murphy is the Jewish guy, yeah. And the main barber. And
he is.
Yeah, but you
didn't know that one.
Yeah, no. And then the other two are why do I always forget his name? Arsenio Hall.
Yeah. Arsenio Hall.
Yeah, and then there was Cuba Gooding Jr. was the guy that was in the chair in the first one, and then this time it's someone different.
Yeah, that's right. Because
I love that scene though when he meets the barbers again, and he like they're all making jokes about Africa, and then he makes a joke and they're like, oh, that's just
no,
get
that's,
out my chair, get out my chair,
yeah, you cross the line there,
don't come back here.
So, basically, they realize that he can't marry the daughter of Wesley Snipes's character unless he proves himself worthy of the throne, and he has to go through a series of challenges kind of thing. And this again, kind of because, gets us into like the Billy Madison kind of camp of
traditions, Ace Ventura 2.
Yeah, traditions are very important in this country, such as, you know, arranged marriages that always happen that way, you know. Can never change the traditions.
Yeah, you can never change it at all. Like, you couldn't just like run away to America and find someone.
It's not like we had a whole other movie dedicated to showing that.
Well, that's a sub story though. That's a little bit of a cheeky Eddie Murphy growth.
Oh, okay.
Because even his wife gets up him. She's like, "You're just your dad. You've done nothing."
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
I don't like how they call out sequels as being like crap in this, because I was like, you can't.
Oh, it's so on the nose, wasn't it?
And it's also like, you can't do that and then give like a subpar kind of sequel. Like, you can't, like, it's not better than the original, so you can't like call it out as
the only good time that's been done was 22 Jump Street.
Yes.
And that's it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's the only good sequel call out.
Yeah. That they went all out with the call outs on 22.
And they kept doubling down on it too.
They doubled down and they tripled down. And they just, this is just like a very subtle, and it's too, like, it was so subtle that I'll be honest, I didn't really pick up on it until, I just noted it down as like, oh, that's a weird pacing, like spending 5 minutes talking about how crap American cinema is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then after it was like, that's what they're doing. that's even worse.
Yeah.
That's even worse.
So as part of his tests, he has to get the whiskers of a lion basically
or
study a whole heap of history.
The way I see it, it's just a big cat. It's just a big cat.
Yeah. So, there's sort of like the running joke that Eddie Murphy, like Prince Akeem has... he did it on his first time, but it's really was like his 11th time or something like that.
11th, yeah.
And this is where like he starts to bond with his sisters and stuff. In particular, Mika, who should really be the heir to the throne. But she helps him out to get the whiskers of the lion, and he manages to do it in the first go by kind of like, is it cheating? It's not cheating, right? Because he's like...
No, because they're like, you know, it's a test of the mind.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I feel like... Yeah. Yeah,
I felt like cheating, though. It felt like they could just trank the lion.
Yeah. Like, if you really want to test the mind, you just use a tranquilizer.
Shoot it.
Yeah.
I killed it. Here's its whiskers and its head.
I don't think anywhere in the rules said that it had to be a live lion.
Yeah.
It had to be alive. So,
yeah.
True. And very, very right.
And it's not with
there were easier ways to cheat the system.
Because is he meant to do it with his bare hands? Like, he's meant...
No, he has scissors. Yeah. They give him the royal scissors.
Oh, right. That's all
well,
he gets.
If it's, with his, if it's with his bare hands, he could have just, like, released a bear to fight the lion. And then got the whiskers that way.
Dean? Carry on.
Because he has bare hands.
He uses his bare hands to capture the bear.
He uses his bare hands. The hands of a bear.
And then he's going to send an armless bear to fight a lion.
No. Yeah.
Stupid.
You haven't thought that through at all.
Oh, clearly not. Clearly not.
If I was alive and you were a tutor, I'd kill you.
Oh. I feel like you're against me making stupid jokes for some reason. I don't know why.
I've found a new way to deal with it. This is the beta test. And to be honest, it's actually showing great results.
So
you just challenge my joke. You know,
challenge
just go,
his
oh.
jokes.
You just challenge.
After,
so
after,
let's look into that. Let's see how valid that point is.
So after he proves himself worthy of being a prince of Zamunda, Zamunda.
Zumba. Zamunda.
I've been avoiding it as much as I can.
Yes, you have. The country.
Just think of the U. Yeah. Just think of the U as a double O.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, we always think of Jason as a double O for sure. He's a zero. He's a big zero. He's a.
I don't know where you were going with that.
Like a secret agent?
Yeah, I was like 007. Yeah. Like, what are you saying?
Oh, right. This is not a thing that you can keep doing.
It wasn't a thing.
Stop. So,
he's on the ropes. He's so scared.
So he has his ascension party, and at the party he overhears a conversation between Akeem and Izzy, like Wesley Snipes. Mm-hmm. And basically, like, it's one of those, like, classic, like, rom-com miscommunication kind of moments where it's like they overhear something and it sounds like something that it's not kind of thing. And
this bit felt forced Eddie Murphy doesn't say anything.
He doesn't say a thing. Yeah.
And what's in his son's, like, straight away, he's like, oh, this is terrible. And you're like, you've been here for a while and you know where he's coming from.
Yeah.
Talk to him.
Like
it felt like an overreaction purely just to get
him back to America. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we kind of skimmed over this as well, that, like, he's built up a relationship with his barber, like, royal hairdresser or whatever, during this period. And he's like, you know what, I'm going to, like, run off to America with her kind of thing. And so he goes to her and he's like, I want to marry you kind of thing. And he says, my father will understand kind of thing. But he doesn't wait for a response ever. No. Did you notice that? Like, no. At all?
It kind of feels like a kidnapping.
It really does. Because, like,
yeah.
Like, she doesn't say, yes, I want to do this. She doesn't say, like, any indication that, like, other than she's sort of like, okay, kind of thing. Like, maybe I like you, but, like,
extracting to America.
Yeah, like, it's he just basically skyhooks her out of there kind of thing.
Skyhook to America. Oh,
but even the sentence where he says, my father will understand, you're like, if he's going to understand, talk to the man. Like,
yeah.
What you're doing right now, on a story beat, it just doesn't.
Yeah, because it's immediately after he says that, he goes over and he overhears the conversation, and that's when he's like, oh.
And the conversation doesn't seem like it's enough to derail a whole conversation. That
it's like Game of Thrones. It's like Danny's just saved Winterfell, and in the next episode, we're nuking a tower.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, where has this come from? What's
happened? As if they'd write that on that show. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you go there on that part?
Yeah. I wish there was a season 8 of that. In season 8 of Game of Thrones.
Such a shame they Firefly it.
It's interesting that they just cancelled that show after season 7.
Hashtag not my season.
Like, basically they Game of Thrones season 8 this conversation where basically he's just like, oh man, I can't believe they cancelled my conversation with my dad.
Yeah, I'm gonna steal the royal jet, and I'm going to fly back to America because that's apparently a thing he can easily do. And they all go back to America.
To America.
And the hairdresser goes with him. I can't remember her name. What is her name?
How do you not know her name? Obviously, her name is...
Not Mika.
Why the hell is she not on the first page?
Dot, dot, dot.
Dot, dot, dot.
Marembe.
Yeah.
Marembe. From Zamunda.
So,
Marembe.
Because I know you're going to say they go back to Zamunda. I'm just preparing.
Yeah, thank you.
I can't believe you didn't Marembe that name.
Yeah. So, they go back to America and...
Oh, I get it, because that's her name.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, good joke.
So, They go back to America and they decide that they need to get married immediately for reasons. This is not really explained in the plot, right? Like,
there is no reason for them to get married at all.
Like, it's
purely for
drama.
Apparently in... Where are they in America? Queens?
Or? Yeah, Queens.
Queens, yeah.
Queens?
Queens?
Queens, you have to be married to live together. Apparently that is...
Yeah,
that
is it? The law. Yeah. Cool.
And unfortunately, it's a more tradition that can't be broken.
Yeah.
It's a very Catholic suburb.
Right.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
So they go to the cheapest place they can find, and it's the same sort of sexist, sleazy pastor or priest or whatever from the first one.
Arsenio Hall.
Yeah. Playing that same role again kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, he ends up back in Zamunda. Which is weird, but...
Do you think maybe they were so impressed that they're like, we're going to go get married back in Africa. You want to come?
Why don't you come?
You've officiated the wedding. Let's just finish it off in another continent.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
So they're getting married and Mirambe is like
Morambe.
She's like, this doesn't feel right kind of thing, but just as like she's feeling
that
way.
I didn't agree to this. Yeah.
What?
I just love how much you struggle with the name.
I know. I'm struggling hardcore.
I'm really sorry. It's really funny. It's like you commit and then midway through this first syllable, you're like...
No. I think it's because, I can't... I feel like if I say it wrong, I'm going to just... The prongs are in kind of thing. It's dangerous territory.
Every single name or... title or anything is very much the M. Night Shyamalan kind of conundrum that's happening right now.
That's really not no look, like, his name is so easy to say. Like, you spell out the S-H-Y-L-A-M-A-N. It's just M. Night
M-A-M-A-M-A-M.
Look, it's easy.
Shazam.
That shit is bananas.
Shazam-a-lam.
Shazam-a-lam. Oh my god.
Where were we?
I love those films made by M. Night Shazam-a-lam.
Shazam-a-lam. I think that's going to be my director name.
Shazam-a-lam.
Poor Shazam-a-lam.
So, what happens? Basically, Eddie Murphy's doing the classic break up a wedding kind of thing, but I don't know, but not really.
He reverse psychologizes them.
Yeah. Yeah, he...
reverse psychology says...
Get married, this is good, I like it here. This is nice in this grotty place. And then on a dime, they're like, maybe we should get married back at the palace. And then so they go back to the palace.
Yes.
Yeah.
Barely an inconvenience. Yeah. They bring queens to Zamunda, which just means, six more people.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he says the big speech about, he's like, I'm going to bring queens back to Zamunda, and it's going to be amazing kind of thing. But then, I fully expected something
bigger. Where was the giant, the city of Segovia, or, rocket it up into the air and bring it over to Africa?
I was expecting something like that where you basically see...
Just rocket all of Queens over.
I was thinking that they were going to take that whole building that they were in, where they were getting married, and it'd be, in the street in the middle of Zamunda, and it's like...
That would have been funny.
Interesting.
They're like, I'm going to do that.
I wish they'd done that.
Yeah.
They'd take the food carts and all the stuff. It'd be the streets of Queens, but in Zamunda. Yeah. So I was like,
Dress it up.
It's just the same people plus the barbers.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. It's just Eddie Murphy and Arsenal Hall.
It's essentially every person we've seen in Queens in this movie.
Yeah.
Is what they're actually meaning.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Which, yeah, yes. So basically they're like, they go back and in the interim, Mika has had an encounter with General Izzy and and basically beat him up kind of thing, and sort of earned his respect somehow. So he's like super chill about Lavelle getting married.
Or is he scared?
Yeah,
I thought he was intimidated.
Yeah, it's probably more that too. Yeah, it's sort of brushed over very quickly, and we have like the
and
whole musical number to finish it up.
Very abrupt character change in the next scene.
It is one of those things. Like, I like Wesley Snipes' character. I think anytime he walks into a room is very funny. The dance numbers.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And the
but
walk.
He does kind of feel
the walk.
And the walk that he does. Is such so much is, swagger.
Yeah. So
the big announcement.
He does kind of
like
feel
the big,
like a,
the way that
you guys are so white.
Okay.
Wow.
Look at the swagger on that man.
Yeah.
Radical. No. My G.
Yes. Yes, we're so wide. It's very easy. Like, we're all about the walks, baby. We're just, yeah. That's
what do you mean?
What?
Just keep going.
I don't know. Yeah. Just like,
what kind of walks, dude?
Paul, no. No. This is a joke you started. Don't do it again.
Anyway,
he does feel like a bit of a faceless villain. That is, he legitimately does feel like a barely an inconvenience kind of guy.
Completely.
As a warlord.
Yes. Yeah, that has a walk to remember.
The movie.
Yeah.
We should do that movie next.
Is that the one where Mandy Moore dies?
Yeah.
I like that movie because I hate me.
And next week we're doing Princess Diaries and all of Mandy Moore's.
Oh, bro, I'm loving the Princess Diaries. That's a good movie.
Really?
Yeah, but Anne Hathaway
Anytime
doesn't
we
die.
Get to revisit Sokovia, I'm in. Sokovia?
Genovia. That's
shit.
Genovia.
Oh my God.
Princess Bride is
Genovia.
Not in
Genovia.
The MCU.
Wow.
Genovia.
But could you imagine?
I'm getting on my franchise mixed
now
up.
Chernobyl.
Chernobyl.
Marvel.
Often confused.
Yes, Princess Diaries. Mia Thermopolis,
the
Princess of Chernobyl.
That's just Chernobyl. The current world that we live in, you realize. Yeah. We live in a Chernobyl cinematic universe.
We live in a Chernobyl society.
Sequel's going to be banging.
Yeah.
So, what would the sequel be? Chernobyl?
China?
Well, that was, yay.
So, that's like the end of the movie, and then we get like a bunch of bloopers, and that's pretty much it. Like, that's it. That's really
I did read a thing, and this made me a bit interested. They bring out like the band or whatever. They do that whole We Are Family thing at the end. That's the one.
They make
a point of getting Lavelle to sing earlier on in the movie, and where I thought this was going is they're going to circle back around, and then he's going to be the one performing.
Right,
that's going to be a really cool little thing. And then that doesn't happen. I was like, why wouldn't you? I understand, you know, he's the groom, but...
Well, they needed a shoehorn Randy Watson in somehow.
I don't think that was the most important plot, like, thing that they didn't follow up with.
There's a few things.
I don't care that he didn't see at
the
end.
That's the one loose thread that Paul is worried about. That's
it. Maybe it was ruined for me at that point. I was like, this is garbage.
I can't believe they didn't get him to sing again.
Did you guys feel like the Randy Watson...
Says the guy that doesn't like musicals. The irony.
Paul,
you
can
get
through
the story
Hamilton.
In 15 minutes if they just didn't
you
want to
just starting him to sing.
Hamilton has
so
many throwbacks.
Back and forth.
I'm fine with a song or two. I liked the end of Dora. That was fine. What I don't like is an hour and a half of that shit.
You're
going to
love...
You're going to shoehorn this conversation into another song. How?
But
how
you're
going to
you love
go
it.
From this to that seamlessly? I hate
it's
it.
Got so what many reprises, Paul. You'll love it.
Yeah.
They keep bringing songs back in Hamilton.
Yeah.
There's like a half reprise.
Because then the only sound effects are music and not explosions.
And you know what? you said like an hour and a half, but Hamilton... You got 2 hours and 40 minutes
you're gonna
of
love,
this.
You're going to love that hour and a half, aren't you?
They think they
Suck
are Harry Potter.
Oh, man.
sucked in.
That
what is
that
this
right
Snyder
there,
cut bullshit?
That is
for
the
Hamilton.
Expression. That's the expression of a man that's still proud.
Hang
of
on, are you for real?
Is it actually two hours 40?
Oh, actually, no.
Sucked in.
Yeah, it's 2 hours 40 minutes. Yep.
Are you kidding? There's an intermission. I'm going to enjoy next week. A whole 160 minutes, Paul.
There's a whole 5 minute intermission. So you're welcome.
Is there actually? Hang
yeah.
on.
There's not.
Yeah, it's a musical.
There's an intermission. In the movie.
Of course, there's an
you
intermission.
You can't get out of it, Paul.
Yeah.
I could kill myself. That's an option.
Just get in the Jupiter ascending mindset and you'll be good.
Yeah.
How could it
happen? There's a lot of plot to cover, man.
Because it's a me. Yeah. I told you there's a lot. There's a lot of reprises.
The chorus is just saying, buddy.
There's so
you
many
know how
reprises.
You can cut that down to 90 minutes? Get rid of the songs.
Actually, that would cut down to 0 minutes because it's all songs.
That would cut down. Yeah, it is. It's, there's about 5 minutes of actual spoken dialogue.
I don't want the Schneider cut of Hamilton. Why is it so long? Oh, no.
You're going to love it. You're going to love it. It's going to be good.
That's really
there actually are
night.
Some pretty solid sound effects in it
wait
as well.
Till next week.
Yeah, so
it's going to be a salty podcast next week. If you thought this tail end audio was hot.
So we're probably going to record these out of order, but for when they're released. So Hamilton is being recorded next week on our schedule and it probably won't come out until after Justice League. But yeah.
This is the behind the scenes as to why Paul is angry in the podcast you just listened to.
Yes, getting back to coming to America.
Thank you for the segue, yep.
Yes. The biggest disappointment for me was the plot. It's entirety.
That is fair.
I really
I
enjoyed all the little throwbacks, like when he gets back into like his New York jacket and like all the like touristy stuff. That was like really funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, the plot. They had so much opportunity only because they had so much opportunity for to have a kind of much better plot and they didn't use it. Like they went for
the
dumb
generic.
Okay, I guess we have to stick with the man coming from America to Zamunda because it's the opposite of what happened in the first movie, right?
Yeah.
But it's like they set it up to, it could have been so much better. He's got like these three daughters who've literally been training to rule the entire country.
Yeah.
They could have had some amazing character development in there where, you know, the story is about him being a father and like learning how to, you know, share some wisdom on how to rule a country or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the comedy could have been left to the, or whatever kind of secondary lesson could have been left to the long lost son or whatever, or better yet, send the daughter to America and like bring back the illegitimate son or something, like I don't know.
I think they could have scrapped that whole thing in general, though. Like the whole illegitimate son could have been scrapped, and I think
it was definitely
it's a very
shoehorned
generic trope kind of thing.
And they had to go out. It's one of those things where, like, they had to go out of their way to set all those, like, all that
it's
in.
It's so true.
In the movie. Like, they had to, like, it was actually a lot of effort to get that plot up and running in the first place.
Yeah.
Because of how the first one kind of, like.
Like, they really did not want to make the story about a woman.
No. I was like, I kind of, like, that's, like, I do kind of want to know what Ryan Coogler?
Yeah.
That's his name? Yeah. I kind of want to know what his pitch was and how different it was to this.
Because
that definitely interests me. But I definitely do. Like, the girls were definitely a highlight of this movie.
Yeah.
So, definitely, like, more of them.
The girls get it done, man.
Yeah. Yep. So,
more of them would have been awesome.
We sort of skimmed over it too, but he doesn't become the ruler. Like, Lavelle doesn't become the ruler.
He becomes like the liaison.
He becomes like the what do you call it? The it's The foreign
ambassador.
Ambassador.
Yeah. Foreign No, but that's because they say he's like the foreign correspondent to America. And then it cuts to him talking to Marembe.
And they're like,
oh, do you want to go back to Queens?
And he's like, nah.
What are you doing?
You know, it could have been like Prince the Princess Diaries kind of plot where the daughter is the like the one that they were going after and Eddie Murphy has to go over and be like, hey, you're my heir. And then make it about the daughter.
Yeah. Even the daughter, like, doesn't, like, the daughter is in Zamunda, but
mm-hmm.
yeah.
But she is like, I'm sick of this place and I heard so much of Queens growing up. Mm. I want to go live there.
Yeah.
And she, like, splits and they've got to go try and get her.
And it's like
her.
A coming of age.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And
yeah.
culture and shock when she finds out what Queens actually is like. And
you could, like, yeah, but I suppose in a way it'd be too much like the original movie, like, in some ways. But
yeah.
but have the like, Akeem and Lisa go after her kind of thing. Having not been there for, like, 30 years.
Could have done, like, what all the great Die Hard sequels do and make it, like, coming to Russia or something. Oh.
Somewhere. It stopped at Die Hard 3 for me,
They're in America for most of them.
Yeah. Oh, it's all of them there in America. I don't...
Jason's favourite one
except for the fifth
is...
One.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there is no fifth the one. Was.
There's no fifth Die Hard.
There's talk to the fifth one.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if
that'll
ever get made.
Are you joking, Paul, or are you...
He's still alive.
There is a fifth one, Paul.
What are you talking about? There's the with Timothy Oliphant. That's the fourth one.
Yeah,
that's the fourth one. And then there's the Yippee-ki-yay Mother Russia.
No. That didn't
happen. Both in denial. Okay, I knew Jason was in denial. I just assumed Paul was just like getting his sequels mixed up again.
When I went to watch that at the cinemas with a friend of mine, and I was like, before it, I was like, I love Die Hard movies. Like that, like even though a lot of people didn't like Die Hard 4, like they can just do no wrong. Like Die Hard is just going to be so good. Leaving the cinema, I was like, that wasn't a Die Hard movie.
He was caught like, a mistake.
Was your friend, had your friend ever seen Die Hard or was he like, I've never seen Die Hard. I'm curious to know what all the hype's
you'd
about.
It. Like, I just love Die Hard. Like,
I didn't even realize this movie existed. I'm just looking it up now.
It is horrible.
What the heck?
It is the worst.
No, it's terrible.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. I think we described it.
Do you know what?
You know what? It's not the worst Die Hard, though.
Jai Courtney. Is enough warning.
Jai Courtney.
Exactly.
Is
yeah.
That I'm literally like, when I see this guy in a movie, I'm like, okay, it's already gonna be bad.
Yep. Jai Courtney comes with an alarm bell.
You know
around
what?
His neck.
Though, I've like, watched all
watch
of them
his,
recently.
What's his deal?
He hates. Yeah.
So
good
in the
movies.
Last like 3 years, I think I watched all five Die Hard movies, and I realized that Die Hard 2 is actually worse than Die Hard 5.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Rugs.
Yes.
What?
It's much
The other
worse.
One with the Russians?
No, it's not. They're not Russians in that one.
What are they?
They're like ex-soldiers. It's kind of like...
from Russia?
Oh, the plane.
They're not from Russia. No.
Where are they from?
I don't know. It's, what's his name? He's that character actor. He's like in heaps of stuff. He's in like Shawshank Redemption and a bunch of things. They're like Americans.
Oh, really? I always thought he was Russian.
No.
Maybe I was getting mixed up because like there's the whole thing with him, like, you know, like shirtless doing the whole like...
Yeah, the whole nude sort of stretches or whatever
he
does.
The nude muscle yoga stretch thing. I was like, that is definitely a Russian villain right there. I'm sorry. I'm stereotyping. I know.
It's William Sadler. That's who I'm trying to think of. He was the main villain in that.
Okay.
But yeah, like it's not a good movie. He also plays Death in Bill and Ted. So anyways, moving on, birds. How many birds do you give coming to America? Dean, how many does it get in the end for you?
Says two. Yeah.
Coming to America. I will give this... I reckon I'm going to give this a three bird.
Three bird?
I think. It's just one of those three birds. I might be generous, but it's just like one of those things. Like, I was pleasantly forward. Surprised. I was expecting a one bird and I got a three. So
nice.
There you go.
Fair enough.
Still not great, but not worth avoiding if, you know.
Yeah.
If Amazon Prime is on and some, like, there's a glitch in it and it just starts playing this movie for no reason, then just roll with it.
Roll with it.
Because, yeah.
Yeah, or cook dinner while it's going in the background.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's not going to hurt you.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, that's my take.
Yeah. Fee, where does it land for you? How many birds?
I'm going to give it a two.
Two.
A
two.
Yeah.
Coming two birds.
Two birds.
It was like... It was okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen. And there were like parts of it that were really like cute and like funny.
Yeah.
You know, like the rose bearers and stuff and like all the little, it was worth it if you've seen the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth seeing because all the callbacks, like you do get a kick out of, you know, seeing them throw it back to it. So.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Plus, fun.
Jared Butler's not in this. So, I mean.
There's that
what
too.
Better reason to watch it?
I'm sure he can put on an accent.
Yeah.
I'm just, that's not right. Sometimes I feel like Jared Butler putting on an accent is too much to ask of Jared Butler.
Hey, he did okay.
You just do this in an American accent.
Greenland movie.
Putting on pants is too much.
The Greenland movie is actually decent. If you've, have you
We're
guys
not watching
that?
It.
Yeah.
No, yeah, let's next week.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm going to watch it next year when I'm ready to step back week? Into Jared Butler movies.
Yeah, December. So, Butler again.
2022, the year, the return of Jared Butler.
Yeah.
We'll see you in 9 months, Drew. Yeah.
That's
when my palate is fully cleansed.
How many birds do you give Coming to America?
Two and a half.
Two and a half.
Like it was enjoyable. Yeah. But, cool. You know, I wouldn't watch it again. It's one of those ones where it's like, if you want to watch it, watch it. You'll have a good time. If you don't want to watch it, don't watch it. You'll have a good time.
Depending on what you're doing, you might not be.
It's a win-win. It's a win-win kind of movie. You're still going to come out net positive. It just depends how you value your time.
Yeah, that's it. It's a safe. It's a safe investment, as in it neither goes up nor down.
Yeah,
it's just like
exactly. It's like GameStop.
Yep. Nice. All right.
Exactly, like GameStop.
Yeah, I think I'd give it 2.5 too, actually. So
great. Yeah.
Cool. I'm just answering as awesome. If you asked me, but that's fine. Yep.
That doesn't count. It doesn't count when you just jump straight into it. You didn't give us a chance to ask.
I gave you a chance. There was a long enough pause.
No, don't be the martyr. You didn't let the conversation flow there.
Yeah.
It was one of those awkward pauses.
You're cool. Like,
sorry, okay.
There's been a slight pause, but Jason could jump in at any minute, so we'll just wait a little while longer. Oh look, there he goes.
He's acting out. Is what he's doing.
That's the mind. That's
are you guys finished?
We're not giving him attention, everybody.
Yeah, are you finished?
Hello,
you finished? Yeah, we're finished. Thank
Jason,
cool.
What do you give this? Jason, what do you give this?
Oh, thank
there you.
You
go.
Yeah, 2.5 as well. That's me done.
There we go.
All right.
Good number. Good choice.
Yeah, keep it classy. I'm not going to plug our socials. We're on all of them. You know, we know where we are. We're on Patreon. Let's just scrap all that.
Doesn't
we'll
matter.
Just get
to
the
you,
end.
Yeah. Doesn't matter whether you know.
I'm going to bed.
We know where they are.
So
wow.
I hope everyone enjoyed the show.
We know where we are.
Coming to America broke Jason.
Yeah.
Completely. And nothing to do with us. Just letting you know.
Not at all. Good night, everyone.
Okay. Bye.
We're actually doing this.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Cool. Streamlined ending. See you later. See you tomorrow. Next week. See you whenever.
Just if you want to know where to find us, just we'll give
refer
Jason's actual address right now, and you can ask him yourself.
I mean, you could just scroll down. Scroll down the links.
Yeah.
Yeah. The show notes. Yeah. Your grubs.
All right. Unless you're a Patreon supporter, you're not a grub. Bye.
To Bombay.
We're still not sure whether that's the end or not.
That's the end. I've stopped recording.
Stop recording.